Live programming for WAUK Radio 540 AM and 101 FM is produced right in the Shaw in beautiful downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with WAUK Radio. Enjoy.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is in the studio. Let's go directly to the phone lines. Bill, thank you for being patient and calling back.
Sandy, you guys do a wonderful job. You're a sea of reality in a world of fantasy. But what I would like to say is it's amazing how the minority is now controlling the majority. I truly believe that the Supreme Court is coming out with all these actions for one reason, through their think tanks and their organization. They're aware of that Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger have opened a can of worms. They can't put the lid on. So they're doing this as a move for the midterms and all that to try and pull more voters to the Trump ideals. And when CJ calls in, and he knows where the bad schools are because somebody told him, not that he experienced it. It's amazing. People know what, men know what's good for women, but they don't ask women. White people know what's good for black people, but they don't ask black people. White people know what's good for Mexicans, but they don't ask Mexicans. The ability to suppress what this country's built on is amazing. And I'll just leave this with a closing thought. I believe we have to have a motive to go out and say ban all assault weapons if you want children to be first and you care about pro-life. So thank you, guys.
Bill, you said what I sent you. You said a mouthful. Thank you very much for the call, Sandy.
Well, you know, I think this whole notion of banning weapons that are already out there is the name of the game, and I know that's why LaPierre and the people in the gun movement always bring up the boogeyman of the government's going to come and collect our guns. You know why they say that? Because they know it's the right thing to do. They know that that's the only answer to the gun problem in America. We have 400 million guns out there, 20 million assault rifles. We need to start gathering those things up. We need to limit the numbers. You know, the various communities that have had those gun collection programs, you notice they don't happen much anymore because I think there probably was a backlash they experienced. But, you know, that's what we need to do. We need if only voluntary people to turn in guns so that they can be taken out of circulation. But right now, we have so many guns in circulation that our children won't be safe, regardless of legislation that's passed about the sale of new guns.
Hey, thank you very much for the call, Bill. You know, and Sandy, I want to go now to Ukraine. And Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered a pause in the invasion of Ukraine on Monday after Moscow claimed a major victory in seizing the, what is that, Luhansk,
yeah.
Region in Ukraine's east. Putin, during a meeting with Russia's defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, said all units involved in the offensive in Luhansk should rest to build up strength. State-run media outlets reported the units that took part in the active hostilities and achieved success, victories in the Luhansk direction, of course, should rest, increase their combat capabilities, and what they're getting ready to do is push forward. So, Sandy, you predicted this early on. I remember the first couple weeks of the war, and everybody was crying crocodile tears. The television cameras were everywhere. News reporters from all outlets all over the world were there and in the early stages. And you said, well, it's going to wait till it gets to be warmer. You know, this was during the winter, and so they couldn't move. Russia couldn't move on the ground when it was soaked. The fields were soaked. The ground was wet. When once all of that settled, it turned into a slugfest.
Well, and it changed geography, too. They were in western Ukraine near Kyiv, which is a much different geography, and it was urban warfare. The warfare had moved to the east. There's a couple of things about eastern Ukraine that are different. One, eastern Ukraine is filled with Russian speakers and a substantial number of Russian sympathizers, so that they didn't have the same kind of resistance amongst the general populace that they had in western Ukraine. I'm talking about the Russians now. And also, it was a much more wide open space, a space that can be the field for tank warfare, but also artillery warfare. And everyone knows that if amongst any military in the world, Russia has more artillery. They have more artillery than the United States has. So, you know, they have a focus in their military on artillery, which is a distant type of warfare, a warfare you fight, you know, like 20 miles, 15 right. miles apart. And you slug it out, and you are firing somewhat inaccurate kinds of shells that do a fair amount of damage. And it's basically the damage is done by the number of shots you make, number of shots you take. And it's a war of depletion. And Russia was going to win a war of depletion. They have more men. You know, in the eastern Ukraine some weeks ago, Zelensky said they were outnumbered 7-1 by right. Russians. And so now eastern Ukraine has basically fallen to the Russians. Now, the Russian intent before the war was to obtain something like an autonomous Donbass region, the Luhansk and Donetsk areas, and to secure a land bridge to Crimea and to have Crimea recognized as Russian territory. I still think all those things are going to be accomplished. I think they could have been accomplished through a negotiation prior to the invasion. I think Ukraine refused to negotiate, particularly its own neutrality, and refused to negotiate the notion that it wouldn't join NATO. Within a month of the invasion, Zelensky was announcing that he no longer felt that Ukraine needed to or would ever join NATO, so that was something that was yielded. So, yeah, it's terrible because Ukraine is... suffered what they announced to be like $500 billion worth of infrastructure damage during this war. It's a war that's been enabled by our munitions. It's a war of resistance in which they've done remarkably well against a larger and formidable military foe, but it's also a war that is not going to be won by them and is going ultimately to be settled by some kind of negotiation. And I still predict that the outcome of that negotiation is going to be much as I just described. That's what's happening on the ground right now. Right now, Russia on the ground has the Donbass region, the Mariupol land bridge to Crimea, and they hold those. And, you know, my hope is, quite frankly, that during this letdown, when Russia says that they're gaining their strength to not mount another initiative, there will be a negotiated settlement.
You know, Sandy, it doesn't make you feel good that you predicted that.
Well,
going back when you know everybody was
Henry Kissinger has a concept called realpolitik, and he was talking about this very same Ukraine issue at age 97, but he still seems to be sharp as a tack. And he was basically saying that the realpolitik is the notion that international affairs are the result of pragmatic evaluations of real interest. How really interested in what sort of critical and strategic value do we have, do we place on Ukraine? If we place a very high strategic value and we have a critical interest in Ukraine, then as a matter of realpolitik, we'd be willing to invest our troops, our resources, our treasure in defending Ukraine. But the fact is, on a realpolitik basis, we don't have that kind of interest in them. We have a lip service ideological interest in what we talked about, which was democracy, ignoring the fact that Ukraine was a mightily corrupt country, you know, that as recently as 2015 and 2018, this guy Manat, who was the campaign chairman for Trump, was earning millions of dollars from Ukraine. You know, Burisma was paying Hunter Biden millions of dollars to be on the board. It was all the result of a very corrupt effort by Ukraine to curry the favor of American politicians. Apparently they did. But so what's happened out of this? You know, we gave Ukraine the capacity to say no to Russia in a negotiation, which resulted in a Russian invasion, which is going to result in huge damage to the infrastructure of Ukraine, huge losses in human life in Ukraine. And the ultimate outcome, I believe, is going to be no different, really, to speak of than what would have occurred in a negotiation prior to the invasion.
You know, our investment of over $70 billion in counting, and people are still saying, not enough, we haven't invested enough. When will we come to a realization, Sandy, that even if we invested $170 billion,
I think
the outcome is still going to be the same.
I think the danger is that there's a bit of folly in the path we've taken, and that Putin had predicted that ultimately the European countries would break, the unity would break with respect to their willingness to undertake the costs that are being placed on them in this situation. And we can, after the break, we can talk about it, but I believe that there is a real risk of that happening.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Sandy Williams. You can join us. We'll be back.